Good morning.
It's great to be here. I firstly want to acknowledge our spiritual family from Every Nation Mongolia. Pastor Oyuna is here. Would you give her a hand? And a couple of our members here dropping by. It's always good to receive family members from all over the world. Okay, so every time when you travel, we always say that your trip to the different nation is not complete until you visit the Every Nation Church there. Right? So now we are in the third part of this series called the Family Blueprint. Say the word blueprint. Now this series, we encourage and we challenge each and every one of us to reflect the foundation of our family, the foundation of our household. Now we believe that God instituted marriage and family, and we want to each year strengthen families, strengthen household with a godly foundation. So this is part three and the finale of our three-part series. And I told the same yesterday evening in our evening service to the non-married people, non-parent. I believe that this series is equally as important, equally as relevant to you, because we are all part of a household. I remember when I was a single young adult, I always enjoy sermons on marriage, sermons on parenting. It gives me a glimpse on what really a godly family looks like. Ephesians 5, 6, 4, if you go to the two slides later, it's written by Paul to the Christians in Ephesus, to the great city of Ephesus, the great commerce hub, the great pagan worship of the temple of Artemis, the temple of Diana is there. Now today, Ephesus is not a livable city, but if you do have the chance to visit Istanbul in Turkey, I encourage you to consider taking a day tour, a day trip to Ephesus, just to see the ruins of the great city of Ephesus and to relive what Paul is speaking to the church in Ephesus. Okay, so now, recently I was talking through a couple that is going through some marriage issue. And you know, at times they will argue and they will, you know, they will live separately. And at times they will say, Pastor, we settle already. You know, we talked through already. And a couple of months later, it will happen again. And I was encouraging them not to treat conflict in the family like cracks on the wall and we just paint over it. We didn't address the root issue, or we hang a picture over the wall just to cover the cracks. But take time to reflect and to allow God's truth and God's word to work on our foundation. Now, this book, Ephesians, is an amazing book because it balanced theology and it balanced practical living. Okay? Chapter 1 to 3, it speaks about what Christ has done for us, our identity in Christ, our wealth in Christ as a believer. And chapter 4 to 6 speaks about our walk in Christ. It speaks about our instructions to live. So don't read chapter 4 to 6 without reading chapter 1 to 3. And the key verse is found in Ephesians 5, 1. It says, therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children. Say, beloved children. You know, Paul likes to use this word in Christ because he truly understands the identity in Christ. And sometimes we need to grow in our understanding of what it means to be in Christ. And in the book of Ephesians, he quoted in Christ the most time, up to about 30 times Paul mentioned in Christ, in Christ, in Christ. So much so that we know that as we know our identity, therefore we can imitate God. If we do not know our identity, we will end up imitating the ways of the world, the trends of the world. A quick recap, we spoke about the foundation of a family, the right identity. Last week, we spoke about the marriage, how it is the race to the bottom. It is about submitting to one another. It is about loving unconditionally. It is about submitting to one another, respecting one another. Okay, so that's last week. And today, I kind of want to talk a little bit about the legacy, the relationship between parent, children, and what it means for us as children of God to be walking in Christ. And it's a very simple message, four verses. I want to invite all of us to read these four verses together. Okay, one, two, go. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Let me pray. God, we thank you today for the reading of your word. We thank you today, God, Lord, that as we learn about your word, let your truth go forth before us, God, Lord, that we acknowledge that truth do not have to be complicated, but truth needs to be received, truth needs to work in our hearts, and truth needs to be lived out from us. God, we thank you, Holy Spirit, speak to us. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people say, amen. Amen. So this is a simple message, four verses, and we want to look at what scriptures have to say about family, about children and parents' relationship, and also us as a believer, as a child of God. How do we walk in Christ? Now, this relationship between children and parent, it is under the umbrella of submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. Okay, so that's the big umbrella of submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. And he speaks about husband and wife. He speaks about children and parent. And then later on, he speaks about master and servant, which we're not going to talk about in this series. But it is out of that umbrella, out of that understanding, how children and parent needs to submit to one another. And first, he addressed the children. Okay, in the Roman Greek culture, children typically mean that those who are under the dependency of the parents. Okay, so there is a time limit to the dependency. There, those under the care or the financial responsibility of their parents or children. That is the understanding of children here. It says, and we're going to just look at the four action words in these four verses. It says, children, obey and honor. Okay, so these are the two words, obey and honor. It says, obey in the Lord. What does it mean? Okay, obey in the Lord. It means obey your children, obey your parents as how you would obey the Lord. And he gives the reason, for this is right. Okay, Paul says, for this is right. Obedience to parents, it is the right thing. In fact, you see it all across scriptures. You see in Colossians 3:20, it says, children, obey your parents, for this pleases the Lord. And the word honor, it referenced the Ten Commandments in Exodus 20:12. So in one sense, obedience is temporary during our childhood years, but honoring our father and mother is for the lifetime. Are you guys with me? So if you're sitting here, you're in your mid-40s like me, this verse applies to me as well because I am called to honor my parents, my father and my mother who are in their 70s. Let's talk about obey. You know, the word obey in today's world, it has a negative connotation, right? Obey seems like a bad word nowadays. If I say I want my children to obey me, I need my children to obey me, you will have the perception that I am a domineering, controlling parent. It's not a good term that this word obedience, it's viewed negatively. It's viewed as someone with oppressive, controlling, a lack of mutual respect. Because of this perception that we have been influenced by the world, it has fallen out of context in modern parenting and even marriage vow. But obedience simply means to listen and to respond with submission to authority that Christ has given us. I came across this survey, the World's Value Survey by Policy Institute in King's College London 2023. One of the most credible surveys. They survey over 800,000 sources, data download per year. It covers 120 countries. Now, it says when it comes to parenting priorities, international attitudes towards raising children has changed over the past 30 years. Okay, over the past 30 years, parenting priorities have changed. So what this survey does is that it lists down all the qualities, hardworking, innovation, tolerance, respect, obedience, the different qualities. And what they found out was there is a stark decline in the perceived importance of obedience. Okay, there is a stark decline of the perceived importance of obedience. Let me read the findings. It says, over the last three decades, the British views have shifted on key qualities that children should be encouraged to learn at home with the main changes being a decline in perceived importance of obedience and unselfishness, and an increase of how much people view and value hard work and imagination. Okay, that's the conclusion of that survey. If you look at this, just pay attention to the obedience in purple, so you can see the drop. It's not that the other values are not good, right? Good manners, tolerance, responsibility. It's not that it's not good. It is that as parents, our priorities, the importance of obedience has declined over time. But yet, God values obedience, right? God values obedience. Even as believers, we are called to follow Christ. We are called to obey the will of God. Right? Matthew 28, verse 18, it says, "Go and make disciples of all nations, teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you, teaching them not to know everything, but to obey," right? "To observe my commandments." So what does it mean for us? If you are parents here, obedience does not come naturally. Okay? Is it me or is it dark here? Okay, maybe there was a fuse that blew, but you guys can see me? Okay, great. Obedience does not come naturally, but as parents, we have to teach obedience. You know, as I say the verse, children, obey your parents. We like to take our children and say, obey. We like to do that, but the children are not with us. The children are in kids' church. They are in our teen service. So I'm speaking to mostly parents here. As much as we want our children to obey us, we have to teach obedience. Okay? Obedience does not happen naturally, no matter how cute or how adorable our child is, our toddler is. They are sinful, they are selfish beings. Right? So we need to teach obedience. You know, the goal of Christian parenting is not that our child have great achievement in life, though that's great. It's not that they have good behavior and manners, though that's great. Our goal in Christian parenting is really for them to grow up knowing the Lord, loving the Lord, and obeying God's will for their lives. You know, I have four children. I really enjoy the different stages of my children's life, two in their teens, 18 and 16, and two, one in preteens, she is 12 years old, and one 9 years old. And I really enjoy each and every stage of relationship with them. And obedience looked very different from an 8-month-old to an 8-year-old to a 16-year-old. It's very different. But if we do not teach them to obey a will other than their own, how are they supposed to learn how to obey the Lord? If they have not learned how to obey, if the only will that they obey is their own will, how are they learn how to submit their will to our Lord Jesus Christ? You know, obedience starts as young as 8 months old. Whenever they want to put something in their mouth, right? And we will say no, right? We will say no, don't put that in your mouth. Or they want to touch an electrical socket. We don't say, go explore. We don't say that, right? We say no, we pull them away and we do it over and over and over again. Because why? Because obedience brings protection. Obedience brings safety and protection, right? When they are 6 years old, when you bring them to the park, when they are crossing the road, if they do not obey you, it is dangerous to them, right? When they are cycling or when they are different things, obedience brings protection and safety. Number two, obedience brings confidence in social interaction, right? Obedience teaches them respect boundaries. It teaches them how to consider other people's feeling. It teaches them respect for authority in the school. So obedience builds confidence for social interaction. Obedience builds character as well. It builds discipline. It builds responsibility. But obedience affirms our relationship between parent and children. Later on, we'll look at it a little bit more. But as they learn obedience, it brings security. It brings boundary. So teach consistently. Don't give up. Some of us parents, we may be thinking, but my son is 12 years old. My son is 15 years old. Is it too late? Okay. We still have to teach obedience, but the approach changes. Right? 8 months old, it is command, right? But as they reach preteens, as they reach 15, 16 years old, it's not so much of a command, but it's a conversation. Right? It's a conversation because they are now reaching a young adult. They are able to see that as parents, we are not perfect. It is not just rules, but it's relationship. As parents, maybe we need to grow in our humility to see that we are not perfect parents, but prayerfully they could see Christ working in us and through us as we go through our challenge as parents. Okay, so obedience, we have to teach obedience. Honor is a little bit different. Honor is to ascribe value and weight, worth onto someone or something. We say we honor God, right? Because we want to put our greatest weight and worth upon God, because God deserves all praise. And because He is God, therefore we honor Him. So in the same way, when God commanded us, and when Paul referred back to the Ten Commandments, he says, honor your father and your mother. He didn't say, honor your father and your mother, those who deserve to be respected. Or honor your father and mother, those who are good parents. No, he says, honor your father and mother. That's it. Commandment. So that it may go well with you. In a sense, honor is given. Honor is given to the position that God has given us. Okay, it doesn't mean that we have to agree with everything. It doesn't mean that... So honoring is giving them certain worth and value. So today, sitting here, there are different ways that you can honor your parents. In fact, you can ask God, God, can you show me how does honoring my parents look like? Is it by listening to them? Is it by spending a bit more time with them? Is it by being patient with them? Is it by serving them? How would blessing them looks like? Is it by helping them with certain things and being patient with them? One day we will age as well. And one day we will be the age of our parents as well. And we might reap what we sow. So learn to honor. So obedience is temporary during childhood years. But honoring one's parents is for a lifetime. Amen? So honor your mother and your father. And then Paul went to address the parents now. Okay, especially the father. Why? Because in those days, in the Roman Greco world, the father has ultimate authority. It's the ultimate authority. So he was addressing the father. But in today's context, yes, I think the father has the primary responsibility, but it is a joint responsibility between mother and father. He says, fathers, do not provoke. Say, do not provoke. Do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up. Say, bring them up in discipline and instruction of the Lord. Again, simple message. We look at the two action words, the two verb. Do not provoke. And sometimes we do that. Out of our anger, out of our brokenness, we provoke our children because we are frustrated. To provoke means to rouse someone to anger, to push the button, to rage bait someone, to exasperate, to frustrate our children, right? And we can do that sometimes. We call them names. We are overly harsh and overly critical on them. We make them feel guilty. We make them feel that they are never good enough for us. I remember the picture of the story of the prodigal son in Luke 15, where when the prodigal son responds and comes back, the arms of the father, the hands and the arms of the father embrace the child. But today, we can provoke our children to anger by the finger of accusation, a finger of guilt, critically harsh, and tell them. And we may say, well, that's the way I've been brought up, and look at me, I'm okay. But now we are in the Lord, and we are called to live according to God's standard. Do not provoke. Or we have the slap of shame. We slapped them about 6 months ago, one of our family friends, not in the church. He called me up. He said, I need to meet you. And we sat down, we chat, and he says, you know, 2 days ago, I made a big mistake out of anger. I slapped my 15-year-old son. And it's been a long time since I did not lay hand on them. When they were younger, out of anger, I beat them. But 15 years old, and we had a standoff because he's not right now big. And they had a big standoff, both out of anger. And the son had anger issues as well because it was out of that slap of shame. or the fist of anger, right? The finger of guilt, the slap of shame, the fist of anger. Out of anger, right? Out of anger, we provoke our children. Don't do that. Okay, Paul says, don't provoke. Don't exasperate. Don't frustrate them. But instead, bring them up. Okay, and this word, bring them up, it really means to bring them towards maturity, to nourish them, to grow them, to cherish, to train them. So Paul says, don't do this, but do this. Okay, I love God's blueprint. It is practical here. It says, as we submit to the Lord, as we submit to one another, as we walk in love, walk in the Spirit, don't provoke, but bring them up in discipline and instruction. That's the role of the father and the mother. I remember when my elder two were younger, I think they learned how to ride a bike when they were 6 and 8 years old. And we would put the bicycle in our car and we would load them in our car and go to the park. And then they learn how to ride a bike in the park. And our rule is very simple, right? Of course, as they grow, we teach obedience, we set boundaries. And our rule for biking is very simple. Whenever you bike, helmet is a must. Okay? Safety helmet is a must. Well, they protest, but nobody else in our neighbor use safety helmet. I say, it doesn't matter. But for you, safety helmet, okay, no problem. They obeyed. So as they learn, you know, months goes by, they learn how to cycle in the park, a year and a half goes by, and they were a little bit older. They says, Dad, can we now cycle to the park ourselves? You know, cycle through the roads to the park ourselves. I say, yes, you can, but safety helmet on. And for a start, I told them, you can cycle, but the moment that you need to cross a road, I need you to come down from the bike, look left, look right, and push the bike across, and then you can cycle again. Are you guys with me? So that's our instruction. Sure, they obey. Okay, they have learned obedience. They were able to do that. And we will watch them from afar. They will cycle. When they reach the road, they will come down and they will look left, look right, and they will push the bike, and then they'll cycle again. And as time goes by, as they get a little bit older, we say, okay, right now you can cycle across the road as long as you look left and look right. So one day, I think my eldest son, he's probably about 9 years old, I can't recall. One day he was cycling home and my wife was driving home. And my wife saw my son cycling home and he was without his helmet. Okay, this is years has gone by now, so he forgot. So when he saw my wife, he was like waving, hi mom. And halfway through waving, his joy turns to horror as he remembered not having his helmet. He suddenly forgot that he said, he knew that he forgotten the helmet. So true enough, he reached home. He was sheepish, and then my wife was waiting for him. I says, you forgot something? Yeah, mom, I forgot my helmet, okay? I said, what happens now? Okay, it's like probably eight, 9 years old by now. And my wife said, okay, you know, as a discipline, no cycling for the whole week. Okay, so that was a season when all his friends, all his neighbors were cycling. So it was a withdrawal of privilege, okay? We no longer used the rod when they were younger because they were much older. They say, okay, mom, you know, no cycling for 1 week. So all throughout the week, he was like, you know, jogging next to the friends who are cycling. But that is our journey, right, of bringing them up in discipline and instruction. The word discipline, today's context, it is equate with punishment. Again, it is a negative thing. But the word discipline in Greek, it means, it refers to training, it refers to education, it refers to instruction. So the word discipline here in the Greek word is very different from what we think of discipline today, okay? It has a much broader and positive meaning. Now, for all of us as believer of Christ, we also go through God's discipline upon our lives, right? So let me bring you to Hebrews 12, which I think is the best few verses that talks about discipline. It's the same Greek word as Paul was using in Ephesians. So he says this, okay, as I read this, reflect it upon your own life. He says, my son and daughter, do not make light of the Lord's discipline and do not lose heart when he rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines the one he loves and he chastens, he corrects everyone he accepts as his son. So what does it mean? If God is disciplining you, it is a confirmation of his relationship with you. if God disciplines you, it is expression of His love. In the same way as parents, when we execute discipline, teaching, correction, training to our children, it is a confirmation of our relationship with our children. It is also an expression of our love to our children. In fact, I can dare say that if we do not discipline and do not teach obedience to our child, we do not really love our child in the way that God wants us to love our child. I don't discipline random kids in the shopping mall. I don't, because they are not my children, right? I don't go random to the children in the shopping mall and say, hey, Noah, I don't do that because they are not my children. I only discipline and instruct my children. It is a confirmation of my relationship with Him. In the same way, right, when God gave the Israelites the Ten Commandments, it is not rules. It is not if you break these commandments, you are no longer my people. No, because the Israelites is already God's people, God has rescued them, bring them out of Egypt. When they would go to Mount Sinai, God gave them the Ten Commandments as a confirmation of God's covenant relationship with Him. So today, if you are going through a certain challenging season, maybe it is God's discipline upon your life. Maybe you are in this season because of your previous unwise decision. Maybe because you have been following the standards of the world. Maybe you have been following the brokenness of your heart and make certain decisions and you are in a particular situation. Maybe it is a season of embracing God's discipline in our life, because God disciplined the one He loves. And He continues to say, endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as His children. Okay, that's our comfort. For what children are not disciplined by their father? If you are not disciplined, and everyone undergoes discipline, then you are not legitimate, not true sons and daughters at all. Moreover, we have all had human fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them for it. How much more should we submit to the Father of spirit and live? They discipline us for a little while as they thought best, but God disciplines us for our good. Say, for my good. Right? It is for our own good, in order that we may share in His holiness. So when God disciplines us, embrace it. Don't ask, why me? Don't ask, why always me? But ask how. Say, ask how, God, can I learn from this? How can I experience and encounter You in this season? How can I grow? How can I respond right in Christ-likeness in this season? Not why me, but ask the right question, how? Because it is for our own good that we may share in His holiness. In the same way as parents, when we instill discipline in our children, it is for their own good, so that they will grow in their holiness and in their Christ-likeness as they reach adulthood. Verse 11, no discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Discipline is painful, right? Discipline is uncomfortable, of course. But later on, look at this, the reward. However, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. Wow. I want to encourage you, if you are going through God's discipline, be encouraged. Embrace God's discipline. Ask the right question, not why me, but how. Because as you grow, it may feel painful, it may feel uncomfortable, but guess what? It will produce a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. In the same way, as we bring our children up in discipline and instruction, it is training. It is not just one time, but it is training is over and over again, right? We say practice makes permanence. In the same way, as we train righteousness, as we train discipline, it produces a harvest of righteousness. And I hope and I pray, God Lord, that we will be a church that we will have children growing up, not seeing perfect parents, but seeing that faith is real and faith is authentic and faith is expressed through the lives of imperfect parents. But they can truly say God is real, and they grow up loving the Lord, knowing the Lord, and obeying God in their lives. I love Pastor Steve Merle's book on parenting. He says, every act of parenting should be about shaping a child's heart, not about controlling behavior. It is really about heart transformation, not behavior modification. As parents, we are called to disciple the hearts of our children, not just for them to act right and to not behavior modify, but heart transformation. It is just like how as we experience the grace of God, as we experience the gospel at work in our life, our hearts are being transformed as well, right? In the same way, we want to see that happening for each and every one of our child. You know, I asked permission from one of my children to share this story, and I asked my child, I said, can I share this story? And my child said that, as long as you said one of your child, okay, so it's 25%, I don't know who. So I told her, okay. So one of my child, a couple years ago, some of our child, they have different struggles. And one of the struggle that this child has is that she cannot control her self-control when it comes to playtime and screen time. Other child, no issue. When a timer rings, no problem, put it aside, time's up, last game, okay, go and do your things. But this particular child struggles, and constantly it was an ongoing conversation, an ongoing negotiation, ongoing argument, ongoing correction, and ongoing. And there was one time where she had sort of like a argument with my wife. And out of frustration, my wife said, why can't you obey and follow what we have agreed on the boundaries? And she blurted out, I can't help it. I can't help it. And that was a perfect moment for us to dispense God's grace. It was a perfect moment for a discipleship moment. It was a perfect moment to invite God into a heart transformation moment. Instead of giving rules and giving, okay, now you cannot, since you cannot, now next week, no more. But it was heart transformation. And my wife said, you know what? Of course you can't help it. Because we are sinful, we are selfish, we lack self-control, and that's why we need the grace and the power of God in our lives. Of course we can't help it. We as adults, we struggle as well, right? We can't help it but to be greedy. We can't help it but to be selfish. We can't help it but to be insecure. We can't help it that we cannot control our anger. But that's why we need the grace and the power of God. In the same way, as parents, as we teach obedience, as we bring them up in discipline and in instructions of the Lord, it is not just rules. It is not just rules. Yes, it's also relationship. But we can partner with the power of the Holy Spirit and to bring into that heart conversation. And say, so why don't we invite God into this situation? Why don't we invite God to help you to have self-control? Why? Because if that is not done, can you imagine if the child is adult, late teens and adult, what will happen if the self-control is not learned to be submitted to the will of God? Right? So we pray. Well, it is not a perfect journey still. It's ongoing. Again, it is training. Training for righteousness. I want to encourage all parents to do not give up. Right? Yesterday after the service, I have one parent that came, share the challenges. I say, it's okay. We don't have to be perfect parents, but don't give up asking God for wisdom, asking God for favor, asking God for His grace and His power, and to have conversation. When they're younger, you give command, right? When they're younger, you give an instruction. But when they're older, there's conversation that needs to take place. There's humility that takes place and inviting God. Before we go to our dialogue, I want to end by saying that families is important to God. Family is important to God. I got saved when I was 18, 19 years old. I was the first Christian in my family. My youngest sister got saved shortly after through her friends in her high school. And some years goes by, and I had that privilege and honor to lead my younger brother to Christ. He's 8 years younger than me. That was more than 20 years ago. And three of us, we've been praying for our unsaved parents for 20, 25 years. different season. But as I shared before, about two years ago, they kind of accepted Christ. Okay, in their late 70s, they, with their limited understanding, they follow. They accepted Christ. They came. We explained communion. They take communion. We explained. And next week, you know, my two elder teens, they are serving in their church in Every Nation Damansara. They are, their community is there. She, the lead worship team and tech team. Next week, I will be baptizing my elder two children. Praise God. But the more amazing thing is that I will be baptizing both of them at the same time as I baptize my parents. Praise God. I want to encourage all of us here. Later on, I told Pastor Theresa, after our dialogue, we're going to have prayer ministers here to pray specifically for two things. To pray with you for family salvation. Okay, if you want to continue to contend for your family salvation, come forward. Our prayer minister want to pray with you and stand with you. Number two, we want to pray for healing in your family. If you or your family members have a certain sickness, we want to contend for healing for you and or your family. Let me just pray. God, I pray, God, even as we end this series, it starts with you, it shall end with you. God, I pray, God, Lord, that as we learn from your word, that we, as we know that we are children of God, as we get our identity right, we can learn to build on your foundation. We can follow your ways, Lord. We do not have to stoop down and follow the ways and the trends of the world. Your truth is timeless. It has been proven for thousands and thousands of years. Help us, Lord, with the power of the Holy Spirit, with the grace of God, with the understanding of your truth. Help us to be a better family member, a better husband, a better wife, a better father, a better mother, a better grandfather, a better grandmother, a better child, a better grandchildren, a better auntie, uncle, cousin, because we are children of God. God, we love you. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right.